Here is the mystery, hidden for ages and generations. He says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The totality of divinity is encapsulated in Christ. And it says the location of this Christ is in you. And the scripture is the revelation of who God is, what he has done, and of who you are. It's an album. It's a photo album. Hear the word. When you read the word, it's like beholding your face in a mirror. When you stand before the mirror, who do you see on the other side? You. But in this case, you are seeing the perfect you on the other side. Amen.
He's making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Your well-being is our priority to God.
Your well-being is not just a demonstration of his love, it's a marketing strategy.
Then Colossians 1, 26, 27. Very quickly. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then Colossians. Heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Who is as excited as I am? Heaven on earth. Amen. Heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven on earth. And today we'll be talking on dreaming with God. Hallelujah. Dreaming with God as a subtopic. Hallelujah. Are you there? Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And then Colossians 1, 26 to 27. Hallelujah. Glory to God. King James Version first, of course. Thank you, Lord. How many of you are praying for Nigeria? Let me see your hand now. Amen. How many of you are praying for Nigeria? Some hands are not up. Please pray for Nigeria. Amen. On a more serious note, don't be part of those who say things like, look, Nigeria, prayer does not work. Just use your prayer for something else. You know, there are people who say that. And they are believers. I mean, to say that and to claim you believe the Bible is a paradox. Amen. Glory to God. It's an anomaly, actually. Amen. Listen to me. The gospel is the hope for the nations, Nigeria inclusive. Amen. We'll get to talk about that next week. But sincerely speaking, you see, how you will know your persuasion concerning the gospel is in the face of staggering opposition. That means any Christian who truly believes in the power of the gospel will rise at such a time as this with hope in their heart, believing that this thing we shout about in our churches, on the crusade ground, in our prayer room, that what God cannot do does not exist. Amen. That God is the most powerful. We have to apply and believe that it works for Nigeria. Are you with me? Am I making sense? And that is simple logic. Amen. So demonstrating that faith in the power of the gospel should show in the way you pray for Nigeria, in the way you speak words concerning Nigeria, in the confessions of your mouth. You believe the gospel works. You believe Jesus is alive. That means Nigeria is not gone yet. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get into today's work. And by the way, I was totally mashed on. Oh my God. Those who were not around, you missed a lot. Amen. We spent 10 hours in God's presence on the 1st of October, just praying and hearing God's word. Hallelujah. I believe the materials are available on our internet platform, Telegram, and on the website. Glory to God. And God said, let us make man in our image. Are you with me? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. Glory to God. That creepeth upon the earth. One preacher say it means creeps, man. You know, African-American call houses creep. Amen. You're not even laughing. I say something funny, you're not laughing. What did I do to you this morning? I will preach my message. Amen. All right, 27. So God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And for those of you who think God is not gender sensitive, this is the verse for you. Amen. That means God created man, and then the man has two expressions. There is the male man and there is the female man. That is scripture. Are you with me? So every time we use man, don't try to change it. We're using it generically, because by design. You see, your spirit is not a female spirit. You know, I tell ladies for years now that the Holy Spirit you have is not the female Holy Spirit. Glory to God. He's the same spirit, are we together? But beyond that, or before that rather, your human spirit is man. It carries the image and the likeness of God. It is a configuration of the soul and the body that takes two different expressions. Are you with me? So you have the male man and then you have the female man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created them. Remember that in chapter 1, God was created. This is something spiritual. Then in chapter 2, he formed. Are you with me? So there is a difference between God creating man and God forming man. He created man in his spirit. He created man in the invisible realm. If you're an architect, of course, just living on the earth, you will know that everything on the earth that has beauty is created twice. First, the blueprints. Are you with me? And then there is the forming physically. That was what God did. He created man in the invisible realm first, then formed man's body and transported what he created into the humus. Are you with me? So that's what he's talking about. 28 now. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. Quickly, Colossians 1:27. Put it up. I'll read it from there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start from 26. Heaven on earth, dreaming with God. He says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints. Let me just say something here very quickly before I go on. Now, if you are around on Friday at Total Immersion, I told you that God does not want to be mysterious. Are you with me? He's only mysterious to those who are not initiated. He is not mysterious to his children. Or rather, he doesn't want to be mysterious to his children. He doesn't want his will, his word, to be a mystery to his children. Hallelujah. And I told you that you will notice that in the epistles, the apostles use, you hear them talk about the mysteries that was hidden from ages and generation. This is one of those quotes. Amen. Hidden for ages and generation. That means there was this dark sayings. There was this thing that people could not really lay hold on. The prophets prophesied about it. Some of them did not even know what they were prophesying about it. About. The Bible says, the spirit of Christ that was in them was searching what and what manner of time. Are you with me? So they were seeking to look into even what they were talking about. So in the Old Testament, it was a shadow, of course. Hebrews 10 talks about the law, and the law that talks about the entirety of the Old Covenant being a shadow of the substance that is to come. So in that shadow, mysteries were concealed. Are you with me? God's will was concealed. The mystery of the Christ was concealed. Glory to God. The mystery of God's purpose and intent was concealed. But see, after Jesus came, the Bible says, after his resurrection, beginning at Moses, and the prophet, he began to expound to them the things from all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He didn't stop there. The Bible says he blew on them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. Then John tells us what happened. He opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Are you with me? So the things that were concealed in the Old Testament are revealed in the New Testament. So no preacher should say, well, there are these deep mysteries that are reserved. It's not left for the common Christian. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. That's his opinion. Are you with me? That is the mystery he's talking about. Hidden for ages and generations. But we are the blessed one. Hallelujah. He said, now is made manifest unto his saints. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is an important truth that is hidden for the initiated, not from the initiated. Are you with me? It's preserved for the select few. That is a mystery. And we are the select few. Glory to God. So, verse 27 begins to talk about that mystery. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Here is the mystery, hidden for ages and generations. He says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 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 The Bible says, it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. The totality of divinity is encapsulated in Christ. And it says the location of this Christ is in you. I'm talking to the believer. Are you with me? That means all that God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the entirety of divinity is loaded up in Christ. And he's saying that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now, as you sojourn through the word, as you get acquainted with the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, one of the things that will stand out for you is unmistakable. It is the clarity of God's intent and purpose for man as you read the Bible. And this is why we began from Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We see very clearly God's mission statement in verse 26. In verse 27, we see how he did what he said he was going to do. He created man in his image, after his likeness. And then verse 28, we saw God releasing the empowerment upon man to carry out his intent on the earth. Now, verse 26, what does he say? Now let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, so that he can have dominion. Meaning, we are going to create a being that looks like us. We are going to create a being that carries our DNA. We are going to create a vice regent and empower him on the earth to rule on our behalf. That was what God was saying. Are you with me this morning? And sin was not strong enough to stop God's purpose. Yes, we know man fell, but that was not the end of the story. Jesus came. In fact, immediately after the fall of Adam, God instituted the restoration plan. Immediately, you can see in that Genesis 3, God showed up when he took that warm blooded skin of the animal and clothed Adam and Eve. That was God's statement of his commitment to man's redemption. Are you with me? So I said sin was not strong enough to truncate, okay, to stop God's plan and purpose. Glory to God forevermore. Now hear me, the Bible is not a religious book. I insist. It's not a religious book. I love the way Mount Zemura puts it. He says the Bible is an album of a royal family with the pictures of the king and his kids, Jesus being the firstborn. That means every time you look into scriptures, you should see pictures of you. That means when you truly encounter the word of God, you should see your face. You should see your face. You should see God. You should see Jesus. But you should see your face. Are you with me? The scripture is the revelation of who God is, what he has done, and of who you are. It's an album. It's a photo album. Oh, glory to God. You have your family album at home. When you look at it, they say, this was when you were 3 years old. Oh, this was primary six when you took first position. And then you look at it and say, I'm an intelligent person. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me? Is a compilation. But see, the beautiful thing is this album captures reality in the visible realm so that it acts as a guiding document. When you see it, say, oh, this is who I am. I'm going to live like this on the earth. This is what James was talking about in James chapter 1 verse 25. From verse 24, he says, when you hear the word, when you read the word, it's like beholding your face in a mirror. When you stand before the mirror, who do you see on the other side? You. But in this case, you are seeing the perfect you on the other side. Amen. You are seeing who you should be on the other side. Hallelujah. In that picture of you, you are not sick. In that picture in the album, you are not broke. In that picture in the album, you are not confused. In that picture in the album, you are not defeated. Are you with me? In that picture, you are not a failure. In that picture, you are not a slave. Glory to God. When preachers preach, they are showing you the picture. You will see this in the writings of Paul. in the communication of Paul. He had the unique way of communicating. I mean, the Corinthian church was a carnal church. Yet you can hear the voice of Paul, not talking them down, but showing them the picture of who they are. He said, "Know you not? If somebody slept around, slept with the harlot, say, ah, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" He didn't say, "Ah, the Holy Ghost has left you. Prepare to go to hell." No! He was showing them the picture. Because if believers can see the picture, they will live right. In fact, the Corinthian church was very serious in... They were even ahead of unbelievers in certain areas. He said, "This one is not even named among all believers." But yet, there were carnal, there was division, there was envy. But yet, Paul showed them the picture. So they can become what they saw. Are you with me? If the word of God is preached and you don't see the better version of you, that wasn't God's word preached. If you ever went to a church and then you didn't see who you could be, you don't see who God has made it to be, you didn't see your face in the mirror, in the album, it wasn't God's word you heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is how transformation happens. Remember? 1 Corinthians 3:18. He said, we open face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are what? We are changed. We are metamorphosed into the same image. A church that is not seeing Jesus is not growing. The believer that is not seeing Jesus is not growing. Are you with me? That means the person may tick all the boxes of Christianese in language, in piety, in movement. Oh, there's this dimension God is taking me to. I'll be talking with angels. There's this depth. You can talk like that. If you are not seeing Jesus, you can't grow. Are you with me? You can say, "Oh, bless you." It's not bless you. Bless you. You know, that's deep. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Your skirt is very long. Your hair is shuku. Amen. You know shuku? You don't do makeup. You don't wear earrings. If you are not seeing Jesus, you are not growing. Why? We all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. He's talking about Christ. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. All right, so from this scripture, what do we see? We see that earth was designed to be the colony of heaven. And man, the extension of heaven on earth. That means your life was designed to be a theater of heaven on earth. Write it somewhere. I'm giving introduction. Your life was designed to be a theater of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. And remember, when I use man in this series, don't forget I'm referring to the new creation man, you and I. Remember, Adam was God's man. He sinned, he fell. The second and the last Adam came. He walked in obedience and then he became the prototype man. Okay? And those who are born again are born after the image of the second and the last Adam. Are you still here? Alright, so earth was created to be the colony of heaven. To be the extension of heaven. And man, in our context, the new creation man, has been created to be the extension of heaven on earth. Are you here? Philippians 2:20, King James Version, then Amplified. Thank you, Lord. His introduction. He said, "For we have..." No? That should be 3. Philippians 3. That should be 3, not 2. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Give me New King James before Amplify. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this now. He says, For our what? Our what? Citizenship is in heaven. He's writing to believers. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who will come to change and transform our vile bodies into his glorious bodies. That's 21. But see, what I want you to see is that our citizenship is in heaven. Give me Amplify. Give me Amplify. Verse 20. He says, for we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland. Oh God, your homeland is not Newi. Your homeland is not Bokos. Is the gospel anti-patriotism? No. But first things first. Imagine if this is your confession. Listen. The reason, and you need to get this. The reason why many believers are entangled with the afflictions of the world is because they have not aligned their confession with God's intent. Imagine waking up in heaven and says, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm saying I'm a citizen of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. Are you aware that Jesus spoke like this? When you read about Jesus in the epistles, you hear his confession. If you meditate on it, you'll be amazed, inspired and amazed. He says, I came down from heaven. He looked at the Pharisees. He says, I am from above. You are from beneath. I came down from heaven. Question, how was he born? He was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. He could say, I'm a Bethlehemite, or I'm from Nazareth. My point is, Jesus attuned his confession with the word. Even though he was born in Bethlehem, was he not born on earth? Did he drop from heaven? No. But here is confession. I came down from heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. My homeland is in heaven. In our hometown, we are not poor. So when you are talking about that, it's not by you talking about it, man. In our hometown, we are not sick. In our hometown, we are not confused. In our hometown, the Lord is our helper. In our hometown, we declare greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. But when you're shouting, we are sons of the soil. Soil, the Bible says you are from above. Now you say you are a son of the soil. What do you think your experiences will be? Things from the soil. Don't you think so? Remember last week, listen. Last week I told you that the primary way we demonstrate our confidence in the covenant is our utterance of faith. Proclamations. How many of you remember that? Proclamations. Your tongue locates you. In the realm of the spirit, you are located by your tongue. Listen, demons recognize you by your tongue. Angels recognize you by your tongue. The Bible says in many things we offend, but he that offended not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That means your mastery over words is your mastery over life. And we have a frame of reference, and that is the word. Glory to God forevermore. We say what he has said. Oh, he said he has said so that we may boldly say. What has he said? I'm a citizen of heaven. I came down from heaven. I'm from Zion. Oh, glory to God. In those days, my daughter will say, I am Christine from Zion. And that is very important. Amen. It is very important. Glory to God. But in fact, let me unveil a part of that verse for you. You know what it actually reads? It reads, we are extensions of heaven. Actually, the Greek word is polythemas, you remember. You see, the way you have in the days of colonization, right? Why are we wearing suit in hot afternoon in Nigeria? We're cultured by British colonization. You can sip tea, it's hot. in Sokoto and you are sipping tea. What happened? Somebody cultured you without paying attention to your climate. I'm going somewhere. Your life will change in this series. What he's saying is, by design, we are the extensions of heaven on earth. Why do you have a city called Alexandria in Egypt? Alexandria is a Greek word. Are you with me? But in Egypt, in the midst of African Arabs, you have a town called Alexandria. Why? Colonization. Amen. So after they took territories, they sent what we call occupational troops. Amen. Why would you have British America Junction? Amen. Amen. Is there Mango Junction in UK? Talk to me, somebody. Are you with me? I'm trying to paint a picture. Earth was designed to be the colony of heaven. So in those days, when the Romans or the Greeks came to a land after conquering, they sent forth what they called the occupational troop. Those ones, they call them polythiomas. Are you with me? They are the extension of the Roman Empire. They are the extension of the Greek Empire in that land. Are you with me? They represent the government of Rome. And through them, that territory is cultured with the culture of Rome. Are you with me? They are not bending to the culture of Egypt. No. They are reculturing Egypt with Greek. Are you getting me? That's what he's saying. He says we are extensions of heaven on earth. Extensions of heaven on earth. Polythiomas. Extensions of heaven on earth. That is who you are. That is who we are. Hallelujah. What is the Father's dream then? A dream actually is a strong desired goal or purpose. Because if we know his dream, we can dream with him. So write it down. Number one, making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Oh, write it. That is his number one dream. Making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. And somebody will say, is there a prototype? Yes. Is there an example? Yes. Do we have a blueprint? Yes. Why do you think Jesus came and walked upon the earth in power? Documented 3.5 years. Listen, the Bible says the miracles that he did, if they were to be written, no book in the world can contain it. I mean, if you keep writing, there are no libraries in the world that will contain the documentation of the miracles that he did. His life was a supernatural life. I'm talking about the prototype man now. So God sent forth a prototype man to show us the picture of who he's making you into. A living, walking, talking heaven on earth. He walked. His life was supernatural. Glory to God. And listen, catch this. You see, the miracles that he did that were recorded were not written to blow our minds. That's what John says. He says, but these have been written so that we might believe. And that believing we might have life. Oh God. What is he saying? They documented these miracles to produce faith in our hearts, so that through that faith we may receive the same life that made him walk the miracles. That through the faith we may receive the same life that gave him the supernatural life. We may receive the same life that distinguished him on the earth. You know, Jesus, they sent men to arrest him. The people sat and were listening to what? They were listening to what? They said, Kai, no man speak like this. Can you imagine? I mean, the chief priests and co were angry. They said, have you joined them? Are you also, have you become his convert? They said, oh God, no man ever speak like this man. There was so much glory on his world. There was voicing. There was utterance. When he spoke, you couldn't turn him down. If he asked you for something, you couldn't say no. I mean, he met Matthew. Matthew was a customs officer. He was one of the wealthiest men in his days. He met him at work. He said, follow me. Let's preach. And Matthew did not argue. He dropped everything and followed him. Or all. There was something in his words. There was something in his words. There was something in his words. When we shout utterance of the mighty, Jesus lived it. And in case you don't know, utterance is not just for pastors. It's for every believer. In the marketplace, you need utterance. Because you are selling something, either goods or services. As a professional, as a business person, you need utterance. As a politician, you need it more. Utterance, when you speak, the people are spellbound. When you speak, multitudes follow. When you speak, they yield to what you say. It is supernatural. Utterance is supernatural. It comes from a life within. Many Christians are average because they don't understand this. Are you with me? You know, back in med school, I used to say to from one level that I will not write any exam twice. If you heard me, you think I'm proud. And I didn't write any exam twice. I said, it's impossible to fail me in orals. I face you, I talk to you, and you give me zero. It can't work. If I don't know it, we'll turn it to a gist. And the gist will give me the marks. Why? Utterance. 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 Didn't you read about Stephen? The Bible says they could not resist the word, the wisdom with which he spake. And that's not just pupito. You are presenting for contract, utterance. Oh, you are not with me. Utterance. When you are done speaking, the people will be amazed. Where have you been? Where have you been? You see, believers who have not been using what we have, it's part of that supernatural life. It's utterance and it's supernatural. The people in the kingdom of darkness understand this and they use it. You see, for doors to open to it, there has to be a contact point. And sometimes, most times, that contact point is through the words you speak. I told you about Kwame Nkrumah. He was fighting for independence. The British did not answer him now. He went to his village for 1 year and came back. When he spoke, they packed their loads and left. What do you think happened? The same thing was said about, what's his name? Adolf Hitler. How Adolf Hitler, when he came down from that mountain and started speaking, his word was like the sound of an orchestra, that when he speaks, you will love him. Oh, I wish you are receiving this. This was the life that Jesus lived. A Christian go for an interview and they say you don't know what you are saying. Oh, they did not enjoy what you were saying. They have to enjoy it. Amen. Are you? Oh, I love Ogamoyo. You know, he says sometimes you'll be doing presentation in office and people will be crying. Unbelievers will be crying. He's not preaching, no. He's doing presentation, office career presentation, and they'll be crying with tears. Why? Utterance. Utterance. This was what Jesus had. Such beauty on his word. And it flowed from that supernatural life. And this is what we're learning in this series. He flowed from that supernatural life. This is the reason a believer cannot be disadvantaged or should not be disadvantaged. He spoke and they sat there. They said, no man ever speak like this man. No man. What? No man ever speak like this man. He came out of that supernatural life. He's the prototype man. He says that believing we may have life. Hallelujah. So when you read about Jesus, you are not to be blown away just by the miracles or the impact of the miracle ministry of Jesus, of his supernatural life, is not to blow you. We say, wow, see life. No. No. It's to produce faith. That's what the Bible is saying. It's to produce faith. Faith in him. And that through him, you might have that life. And that life will produce that supernatural life. Glory to God. Are you with me? That's his number one dream. Making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Oh, hallelujah. Heaven on earth. Now, hear this. The first earth where his will is to be done is you. That's the first earth. Matthew 6:10. Put it up for me. That is the first earth. Hope you know that the word human is from humus. The root of humus, which means earth. Okay, brown earth. Are you with me? It's from humus. Praise God. That means your spirit lives in an earth suit. Glory to God. That's law of territory. For anything to live in the realm, it must have a part of that realm. It just happens. You see, the fish live in water. Praise God. So, well, the point is humus, human, root word humus, which means clay. Are you with me? Which means clay. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he says, thy kingdom come. What we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And then he goes to explain how the kingdom will begin to come. Thy will be done in us as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in humus. That means you are the first place where the will of God should be done. You know, sometimes in teaching kingdom advancement, we may think that, look, what God wants is just to take the political realm, the educational realm, and all that. Listen, and you need to write this down. The concept of kingdom advancement primarily is about establishing the lordship of Jesus in the hearts of men first. Then the takeover of the other territories. Are you with me? That means the first place where the will of God is done is in a man. He's in a man. He's in a man. He's within you. Heaven on earth is not saying, oh, the atmosphere of heaven has come upon the earth as you are walking, so everything is so beautiful. That's not the beginning. No. The beginning is you. That's the beginning. It is you. His will be done, being done in you. You carrying his image and his likeness. That's the beginning. Carrying his image and his likeness. So you said that will be done where? In the earth. As it is in heaven. That's the first place. So heaven is a dimension of God's absolute. You need to write this down. Heaven is the dimension of God's absolute rule, purest love, and perfect prosperity. In bracket, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's heaven. The dimension of God's absolute rule, purest love, and perfect prosperity. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You can go back to that Genesis 1:26. Let me show you something there. That is heaven. That is heaven. That means the realm where God rules supreme. The realm where his glory supervises everything. Are you with me? That is why there is no death in heaven. You know why? God rules supreme. Love is pure. Peace and prosperity is perfect. Perfect is an earthly term. If there's a deeper word to be used, deeper word, so much details. You know, when Paul was caught up to paradise, he said, I heard words that are unlawful for men to utter. Men to utter were in the earth, on the earth rather, not in heaven. He heard them because they were spoken in heaven. That means there was a realm of communication that is alien to men on earth. Are you with me? You know, earth has been so abused by the fall of man and sin. So, earth is trying to recover. Glory to God. I remember earth, when I talk about earth, beginning from man and then the environment. But so you say, in heaven I heard unspeakable words. Unspeakable words. They were spoken. Why did he call them unspeakable words? They're unlawful for men to utter on the earth. That means when you say them, you sound like an alien on the earth. Did you ever listen to aliens from heaven? If somebody sent me a message recently that is listening to aliens from heaven, a timeless classic. This was what Paul was saying. They are the sound unlawful. unlawful. On earth, men will say things like, Kai, I need money. That is for earthlings. In heaven, if you ever need it, it doesn't even come up. It will never. I'm just using an example you can relate with. So the conversation in heaven go like, money I have. Oh, you didn't get it. Water I drink. There's no want. There is no death. Healing is not needed in heaven. Why? The glory of God supervises. This is how you see, this is why all two scriptures, when you see heaven manifested, natural laws are broken. Are you with me? I told you that God wants to make you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. That means your life is the miraculous in motion. That is his vision. And it's available. The seed is in you. It's not coming from heaven. It's in you. It's already in you. Christ in you. He says the hope of glory. The seed is in you. Why will Aaron's rod bud and blossom and produce almond? A dry stick budded. Mesovrabaneko sibaya. A dry stick budded. It is heaven on earth. Because in heaven, there's no such thing as dry stick. Dry means lifeless. It doesn't exist in heaven. So when God told him, bring the rod of Aaron into the Holy of Holies, and then that presence came upon it, selectively, life came upon it. Rod budded and blossomed and brought forth almond fruits. Why will water come out of the rock? Rock, water came out. He says, strike it and water will come out. Why? It's heaven on earth. There are no impossibilities. Oh, glory to God. Why would Jesus call a dead man? For 4 days he was dead. Then he didn't recognize death. Why? He was the manifestation of heaven and earth. What did he tell Mary? I mean, Martha rather. Martha said, oh, if you were around, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, he said, well, your brother shall live again. She said, I know on the resurrection day. She puts the resurrection in the future. Jesus said, what? Resurrection, future. Resurrection is not an event, it's a person. I am the resurrection. Have the life. That means he was a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. In heaven, there's no resurrection because there's no death. It has happened, but when heaven invades, there'll be resurrection. That's what you're saying. He says, on the last day, I am the resurrection and the life. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? Oh, glory to God. I would to God that your heart will open to catch the things I'm sharing. You will stop looking for 1 million. You stop looking for urgent 200,000. You stop looking and laboring for Babylon in the name of chasing shadows. You will settle with God and live out the life that has been programmed into your spirit. He says, where have you laid him? And then when he got there, he didn't recognize death. He didn't recognize death. No, he didn't. He spoke to Lazarus like you were talking to someone in the other room. Lazarus, come out. And then Lazarus came out. He came out. Are you still here? Hallelujah. So in Genesis 1:26, God was saying, let's give man a divine identity. This is where this heaven on earth life begins. A divine identity. A divine identity. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That is a divine identity. That statement gives you your identity. Are you here? That means your natural background doesn't define you. Your past doesn't define you. Are you here? Your bank account doesn't define you. Can I go further? Even your habit doesn't define you. You are not what you do. You are who God says you are. Are you with me? What men have been saying about you or what they say about you doesn't define you. Your identity is in that statement that you are made in the image and in the likeness of God. That's where your identity is. Listen, never draw your self-worth from earthly things. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Satan can take advantage of you that way. If your sense of self-worth is in the physical things you can see, the money in your bank account, the kind of degree you have, the shape of your body, the shape of your nose, Satan will take advantage of you. What do you think happened in the temptation in Matthew 4? Everything about that temptation was around identity and self-worth. Oh, you didn't notice that? The first temptation, if you are the Son of God, identity, identity, identity. If he wasn't sure, he'll try to prove a point. That means those who try to prove things are those who are unsure of who they truly are. Am I talking this morning? Make up your mind from this service. This is the beginning of the supernatural life. This is the beginning of dreaming with God. That you are made in the image and likeness of God. Nothing on the outside defines you. Your definition is in the world. Your explanation is in the world. Your true worth is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That is your true worth. That is your true worth. Hallelujah. That is your true worth. Aside that, Satan will deceive you. The first temptation, identity, everything was around identity and self-worth. Second, he said, it took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Jump down and the angels will catch you. Again, identity and sense of self-worth. Meaning, try to prove. Well, the third one, the huge one. The Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And says, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. Listen, imagine if Jesus drew his self-worth from what he had. From physical possession. But watch this. Satan is a deceiver. You already have it. You can't tempt me with what I already have. You can't employ me in a company that I own. Oh. I wish I had a church here this morning. Are you with me? And Jesus understood that. Oh yes, he did. He knew that all the kingdoms of this world and their glories were his. He knew. He may not have it physically yet because he had not gone to the cross, but they are his. They were his, rather. Are you with me? That means whatever Satan is going to use to tempt you is actually yours. Especially in the context of prosperity and power. You already have it. Oh, you already have it. This is why it's foolishness to compromise. Compromise God's word to have something? No. No, no. You tell the devil, you can't employ me in the company I already own. Oh, you can't. You can't. But Jesus was conscious of the root of his identity. He knew where to draw his self-worth from. Why are people getting depressed? This identity issue. I'm telling you, a large percentage, there could be few exceptions. A large percentage of depression is linked to identity crisis. It's linked to identity crisis. You can go and do your study. Identity crisis. That means we're trying to use the matrix that the world has set to define who we are. If you post a picture on Instagram and it doesn't have 300 loves or likes, you feel you are not beautiful enough or you are not influential enough. You are not what you do. You are who God says you are. What defines your identity? Whose you are and who he has made you to be. That is the root. Without that, Satan will play you like chess. Identity. Now let us make man in our image after our likeness. Are you with me? Listen, once you don't have this thing in place, even when the material wealth and prosperity comes, it won't satisfy you because it was never meant to satisfy you. Are you here? It was never meant to satisfy you. It will be abused, you. Amen. That's the first thing. You are made in his image and his likeness. Luke 12, 15. He says, beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That means your possessions don't define you. That's what he's saying. Are you hearing me this morning? He doesn't define you. Your satisfaction is in Christ. That's what your satisfaction is. You see, somebody asked me recently, he says, so, Pastor, how do we wait when the manifestation has not come? How do we now battle the tendency to be sad, to be depressed? I mean, I pray to God, and this thing has not come. Amen. And my answer is not far from what I'm telling you. But look, your satisfaction is in Christ. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our total being. That means even that thing you are desiring is in Christ and for Christ. Why do you want it in the first place? That means in him, nothing missing, nothing broken. If you feel you are getting delayed, you should trust that in Christ there will be compensation. Oh, are you with me? There will be compensation. That is what it means to have confidence in being in Christ. To be satisfied in Christ. Where Christ is your absolute satisfaction. So, oh, everybody, that means if you truly trust him, you know that there will be compensation. You know that God owes no man. You know that God's system can be trusted. Oh, yes, you know. Somebody said, what if I pour my all in this company? I'm doing everything. Oh, boy. I'm doing everything and they kick me away. You didn't lose anything. In Christ? No, you can't lose anything. No, it's not possible. You can't. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Are you blessed already? All right. So he said, beware of covetousness. Let me nail it in 2 minutes. Your possession doesn't define you. And it means the root of covetousness is identity issues. That's what he's saying. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist. That means what gives value to your life are not the possessions. The possessions are tools that you can use to do some other more important stuff. Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Write this down before we close. That means your well-being is top priority to God. Your well-being is top priority to God. We'll get into that in second service. Your well-being is top priority to God. That's what it means. Look up at me, everyone. Listen, to God, your well-being is not just a demonstration of his love. It's a marketing strategy. Hi, rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. We'll get into that in second service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shout like you were blessed.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.